in a secret lab somewhere in the Western Hemisphere, the perfect human specimen has been born. He has the strength of 10 men and the wisdom of 20.
Rick Munn.
Now you listen here. There's a very naughty boy.
TNT Radio.
Now go away.
Okay, it's Friday, the 19th of April, 2024. This is TNT, today's news talk. And if you've been here before, you know what to expect. If you've stumbled upon us by accident this morning, boy, are you lovely people in for a treat. We have 2 hours of absolute action-packed madness and mayhem lying ahead of us here until the end of my shift at least, which is 1 p.m. UK time. The Locked and Loaded Show. What have we got? Rick, what's coming up? Well, you know, sometimes I like to tease people and say, I'm not going to tell you, but sometimes it's nice to just impart some knowledge to you lovely people out there that are listening in and TNT'd them. We've got Gemma Cooper in this first hour shortly talking about the breaking news of the day. Alex Mitchell, long-term guest, she'll be joining me at about 20 past the hour. Vaccine-injured and bereaved UK group, VIT-injured, lost a leg through AstraZeneca. I think Alex has been coming on here now for about 2 years. The first time I spoke to him in TNT was about March, April time of 2022. So he's going to be giving us an update on what's happening with the Vibs UK family. Basil Valentine, end of the first hour. Second hour, another dose of Gemma Cooper. Yes, it's like getting a booster or the COVID jabs. One isn't enough. We got to give you two. So one shot of Gemma Cooper's not enough. Unlocked and Loaded in the mornings. We've got to give you two. And if you're good, you can even get a booster during the James Freeman Show. Oh, anyway, also we'll have in the second hour, David Hamill. He is part of the Football Index Action Group. Scandal upon scandals being unraveled. This is obviously something people that have fell foul of this have been aware of for some time, but there was a huge scam happened a few years ago with Football Index. A lot of people lost a lot of money off of the back of it, and they're still fighting for justice on that one. So we're going to get an update from David. And then to round off the show today, Trevor John, my old chum, my old sparring partner, he's just going to be jumping on and we're just going to be chilling, just chilling a little bit, chewing the fat over some domestic issues, but with a little lightheartedness and a little bit of a spring in our step as we just wind down towards the weekend. So all of that still to play for. We've got a website, tntradio.live. You can log on there, leave us a message in the live chat, send me an email, rickmunn@tntradio.live, and also check out our What's On section. Very important that you do that, lest ye miss out on some fantastic events that are currently scheduled to happen in the UK, specifically next month, two of which I'll just briefly draw your attention to. Weekend Truth Festival's happening from the 3rd to the 5th of May up in the Lake District in the UK. Details on the website. They have their own website as well, weekendtruthfestival.co.uk. And also a combination event between Stand in the Park and The Light Paper, two fantastic organizations. They're presenting Stand in the Light, and they've got a website, standinthelight.uk. Another festival, a music festival in the Lake District again from the 24th to the 27th of May. That's just next month. This time next month, the first festival will be over and people will be prepping themselves for the second one, but you can get full details on our website, tntradio.live. So if you're in the area, or even if you're maybe, you know, you're listening from far away and you feel like a change of scenery in the month of May, think about it. Jump on a plane, swim, or if you're an illegal, jump in a dinghy somewhere in France, you know, get the dinghy. The Royal Navy will probably pick you up halfway, or Border Force will pick you up halfway and ferry you to the shore, where you'll be picked up in a coach and sent to a luxury hotel. And if you cry loudly enough and beg loudly enough, you might even blag a few free tickets for those music festivals up in the weekend Lake District shows in the month of May. Anything's possible these days, but all are welcome. So I'm going to take a brief pause and then cast our eyes upon the breaking news of the day here with Gemma Cooper, our news correspondent on TNT, today's news talk.
keeping the commitment 24/7.
I come to you for facts. I really appreciate what you and your team do.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Gemma, do you have a motorbike?
Well, before we get to that, I cannot believe that you compared me to a COVID booster. I'm sorry. It's beyond the pale, especially on a Friday. You compare me to the jab. How dare you?
Well, it's a compliment. It's a compliment. I meant you're safe and effective, you know, very effective at what you do. And you're not a danger to anyone. So don't take it as an insult. You've got to take it as a compliment, because that's what they are, isn't it? Safe and effective, and just roll up and do your bit for the general public and take your shot like a good little citizen. But let me ask you, stop dodging the question, Gemma. Do you have a motorbike, yes or no?
No, I don't know.
Well, I wonder if I could interest you in a special motorbike the Gardaí, the Irish police, have heavily invested in. It's a new Gardaí motorbike that has a range of only 130 kilometers. It's an electric motorbike. Niall Boylan comments, what a complete waste of taxpayers' money. A bike that will spend most of its life sitting on a charger using electricity produced by fossil fuels just so we can virtue signal the green nutters. 130 kilometer range, that's about 100 miles, Gemma. He's not going to get very far before he has to rope himself up to one of those little chargers. Not very effective crime fighting machine, is it?
No, absolutely not. But it's a very, as you say, very good virtue signaling machine, doing all the right moves, making all the right signals to the powers that be way, way, way up the food chain that we'll all do what we're told, you know, anyone in a public office making these policies. But, you know, the comedy value of it is, you know, you can just imagine this, you know, trying to desperately get up a hill or something, running out of juice to chase.
It wouldn't even make a noise. But you see that, you see those sound effects that you just put on, it won't make any noise. It'll just be completely silent. And one of the best things about a motorbike is, you know, the engine noise. You know, if it's a big, high-powered motorbike, you rev that sucker up and people, you know, they take a step back. It's a little bit intimidating, really. And that's what's good about the big police bikes. But now they're being replaced by literally e-scooters that don't make any noise at all. Maybe they'll sample the sound of a real motorbike in there so they don't look like complete numpties as they're trying to get up those hills. But yeah, as flippy floppy and wishy-washy as you could get an e-bike for the Gardaí and Garda Síochána, as they're known over in Ireland. What a joke, eh?
Yeah, it is. It is a joke. And we'll just have to treat it as such, you know, apart from the fact that once again, my scratch record will come out. It's our money that's paid for it. It's our money that's paid for it, Rick, you know, and that's always the saddest case about all of these stories we cover. Most of the time, it's us footing the bill. And do you remember the three-word mantra, you know, that was trotted out during the scamdemic of like stay at home, protect the NHS, save lives? These three sentences. Sometimes it was that, sometimes it was other ones. You know, three sentences were always the way of getting the message across. Well, I came up with my own three sentences, actually, to kind of like kick back against the system that tries to control us, which is this. Was it wanted? Was it needed? Were we asked? That's what I think about everything now. Was this wanted? Was it needed? Were we asked? There's my three sentences back at our governments. There's my three sentences back at the globalists, because they were always trying to brainwash us. So I'm going to employ some of their psychological tactics back on them. And I'll use it in this instance with these electric police bikes. Was it wanted? Was it needed?
Nope.
Were we asked?
Nope.
Not exactly. Nope. No.
The answer is always going to be, it should always be no to all three of the above, because if you think about it, apply that to just about anything. The COVID jabs, were they wanted? No. Were they needed? No. Were we asked? No. Lockdowns, were they wanted? No. Were they needed? No. Were we asked? No. Anything at all you can think of, the answers to those three questions will almost universally be no, which I think tells a story in and of itself. A little bit of trivia here, a little bit of Rick Munn trivia, talking about the bikes, the police bikes. I found an old school book of mine from when I was in P7 way back in the day, probably 1980 or so, and it asked, you had to write a little essay, and the essay was, what do you want to be when you grow up? Okay. And back then I had this fantasy in my head. I used to watch this program called Chips that was on TV, and it wasn't the fried potato chips, by the way, which it was also very partial to. It was California Highway Patrol. And there was two dudes rocking around in their bikes with their aviator black shades on. And I just wanted to be in the California Highway Patrol. So I wrote my little essay. I said, I want to emigrate to America. And I want to learn to ride a motorbike. And I want to go join the California Highway Control. And my answer actually linking into your question is, did you do it, Rick? No. Were you capable of doing it? No. And what are you doing now? Absolutely not. Riding around on a bike, intercepting perpetrators in California and working for a bunch of crazy Australians instead on the radio. Who would have thought?
Well, you're doing your kind of psychological highway patrol, I would say. I would say yeah. You're definitely policing the planet's consciousness with some of the stuff that you come out with on a, not even a daily basis, an hourly basis, sometimes minute by minute basis, Rick. You know, you're doing your bit. You're policing the planet with your consciousness truth bomb. So, you know,
you didn't do too bad.
You didn't do too bad.
And thankfully, this job doesn't require me to squeeze into police leathers, because I think the zips would be under severe pressure. If that was the case, I might cut off the circulation in my legs. So thankfully, I don't have to wear the uniform either. But digressing slightly, as I do, listen, I'm Rick Munn. I digress. That's what I'm going to have on my headstone, by the way. Here lies Rick Munn. He digressed. But anyway, breaking news of the day. What have we got?
Well, there are some very juicy headlines around today, and some of them I've already discussed at length, but they're worth further analysis, I think. I mean, within the last hour and a half or so, Rishi Sunak has given this big speech at the Centre for Social Justice in London, you know, absolutely coming out against the sick note culture, which we've discussed at length here on TNT. It's been an ongoing story. 2.8 million people signed off by their doctors. He's now today said he's taking power away from doctors because the amount of people off sick since the scamdemic is growing and growing and growing and shows no sign of slowing. He wants to hand over responsibility to work and wellness professionals to see if you're fit enough for work. Some little nuggets within that speech, actually, of what he said. Also, a story we first broke here on TNT yesterday about Mark Mingus, the Conservative MP who's been suspended over allegations that he asked for thousands of pounds to get him out of a situation of a hostage situation almost with bad people last year. Police have confirmed they will look at the claims. There's nothing more than that at the moment. They said they will look at it. The aide who first reported Mark Mingus, Northwest MP, to the Conservative Party. The aide is speaking out and she says she reported it to the Conservative Party. They promised there'd be an investigation and then nothing was done. She says she's appalled. She's lost all faith in the party and the political process. Some nice quotes have come out from her actually this morning. Nicola Sturgeon's husband, the former First Minister of Scotland, her husband, who was chief executive of the Scottish National Party for 22 years, was last night charged in connection with embezzlement. That story is ongoing and obviously he's been charged. So there's a limited amount we can say on that. And it's also emerged that the UK tax man has referred hundreds of people to a suicide hotline over the way it's handled the loan charge scandal. Instead of dealing with the claims properly, it said it's referred them to the UK arm of the Samaritans. 10 people took their own lives as a result of the loan charge scandal. So HMRC, His Majesty's Revenue and Customs Solution, is mental health telephone hotline rather than sorting out the claims itself.
Okay, so a lot to dig into there. I was reading about the old Mingus business last night, actually some of the juicy details for that one. Apparently, he phoned some old guy up like a 3:15 in the morning and he said, I need $5,000 urgently. There's bad people coming for me. I don't know what the relationship was with that old guy, but apparently he paid him. I think he paid him. I'm going to cover this maybe in a little bit more depth with Basil. But then he added another 1,500 quid onto it. He said, no, it's $6,500 now. So the figure was escalating. What a weird thing to do. Phone an old man in the middle of the night, 3:15, I think, in the morning it was, the phone log said, you know, asking for $5,000 because the bad men are coming. I would have thought if there was bad men at my door at 3:15 in the morning, I wouldn't be phoning some old geriatric. I'd probably be phoning the cops or a few of my mates, you know what I mean? Sort the problem out pretty quickly.
Well, it wasn't a man, actually. He phoned Katie Fieldhouse, who's a 78-year-old campaign aide. It was a woman. Yeah, she's 78. And she's one of the campaign aides. And it was her that he phoned originally and said, can you give me £5,000? And she said, no, absolutely not. I'm not going to do that. And then it was another member an activist member of the party who gave Mingus money, allegedly, from his personal savings. That was a man. But initially, it was Katie Fieldhouse. She's waived her anonymity community. She's speaking out. And she was appalled. She said, I'm not going to give you money. And what on earth is going on? And he's since obviously been suspended from the party. And she doesn't want him to come back. She says, what's going on? And he just said, I need the money. It's a matter of life or death. She's the one that raised the alarm with the Conservative Party straight away. And she's the one today saying she's appalled that it wasn't dealt with. And I think it's probably her that's blown the whistle on all of this and brought it into the public domain, because the Tory party did nothing until it was in the papers. And also phoning her, even if she was 77 at the time of the phone call, I'm not quite sure, you're getting an old age pensioner out of bed at 3 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. What is going on there? What is going on? So, you know, police have not said if they'll be charging. They'll say they'll look at the allegations. Obviously, Keir Starmer yesterday probably rubbing his hands together in glee, because it takes the pressure off his potential deputy PM, Angela Rayner, who's also facing a police. She is facing a police investigation. This takes the focus off the Labour Party and puts it back onto the Conservatives right on an election time. But yeah, it is a strange story. And it'd be interesting to see what Basil Valentine, our political editor, has to say about this. I think there's more to it than meets the eye for sure.
Well, with all of these things, more will undoubtedly be unraveled as time passes by. And I'm sure it's not the last we've heard of old dodgy Mark Mingus and his midnight phone calls to 78-year-old women. Dodgy AF. That's all I have to say about that one. But we've got to pause right now, Gemma, and take a little break. We will talk again, all being well, in the second hour of the show for shot number two. Bing bong. And don't go away. From the safe and very effective Gemma Cooper. She'll be back in an hour, and I'm going to be talking to Alex Mitchell in just a second here, so don't go away. Stay tuned to TNT, Today's News Talk.
TNT's Jason Olborn.
Also out of Iran, comments coming from Brigadier General Mohammad Reza Ashatani said any nation that helps Israel mount an attack against Iran will face serious consequences. The statement came as Tehran launched that airstrike against Israel in what it called retaliation for an Israeli attack. So we are dealing with some very, very heavy news this weekend. And for those that are watching this show know that we concentrate on what I would call both sides of the fall of the Roman Empire, all the events leading up to what is coming in what many perceive as an inevitable collapse one way or another. Others see a descent into absolute tyranny.
Weekends with Jason Olborn on Today's News Talk, TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
I want to say this, and I'm going to say it just once.
This is Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, TNT, Today's News Talk, and I'm really happy to be joined this morning by someone who's been coming on here on and off for 2 years now. Actually, I think I was one of the first people to talk to the legend that is Alex Mitchell back in 2022 about the injuries that he had suffered as a result of AstraZeneca vaccines. And he's still coming back because he's still embroiled in a fight to get compensation and to get justice for the people that have been injured and bereaved and maimed in some cases by these COVID injections. Alex, welcome back to the show. How are you doing this fine Friday morning?
Good morning. I'm actually doing really well. Thank you, Rick. It's strange. Yeah, three years ago today, I left the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And to think back, 3 years have passed, mm-hmm. and I'm still screaming, shouting for proper help and support and acknowledgement that this is just bigger than anything that's happened before. It's been a battle. I'm trying to think, was it more than a year ago since we last spoke?
No, you and I have spoke here maybe 3 or 4 months ago, Alex, I think it was, and then last summer, and then the first time we actually spoke was 2 years ago, which would have been about a year, give or take, since you first were released from the hospital. And I know you've been going through the ringer, not just physically, but also obviously emotionally, financially, mentally, you've been through the ringer. But would it be fair to say this? Just on a positive note, right? When you left that hospital, 3 years ago, you were in a complete tailspin. You didn't know if you were going to live or die. Your whole life had been turned upside down, and it was just the most traumatic thing that could be happening to you. And apart from your good wife and your family around you, you were pretty much completely alone. But one of the positives that has came out of this, if you want to call it a positive, it's not really a positive at all, but good people have come together and you're not alone, and now you're trying to form a collective unit that are trying to get justice and acknowledgement about what has happened, not just you, but other people off the back of those events of 3 years ago.
As a massive positive, because that's the biggest thing that really hurts people individually, is that they feel they're all alone. Mm-hmm. And that's the last thing that they are. There's thousands of us out here now. Mm-hmm. As you know, yeah, VIB UK have been phenomenal in trying to push for reform of the vaccine damage payment scheme, which was mentioned yesterday by Sir Christopher Chope. I've got to give that man credit. From the very beginning, that man has been trying to reform the vaccine damage payment scheme when there was single numbers that there was supposed to be known about. We knew that the numbers were so much higher. So fair play to Sir Christopher Chope for continuing to try and get the reform of the vaccine damage payment scheme.
Yeah.
The whole act is horrific.
Alex, I can remember about 3 years ago, I started using, you know, social media platforms, to start using Twitter or X, call it whatever you want. Never done it before. And one of the very first little video clips that I ever made that actually got any kind of traction was actually, I believe, Christopher Chope in the House of Commons questioning then Health Secretary Matt Hancock, saying, what are the death rates within 28 days of people getting a COVID injection, for example? And it's on there, it's all bookmarked and it's on timelines, yeah. And many, many people have seen that video. But at the time, Hancock was wriggling around saying, well, we don't have that information right now, and we'll have to get that to you. I'll endeavor to get that to you. He had every information about everything else, Alex. Everything else he had information about. But when it came to people having adverse reactions or losing a leg in your case or dying straight off the bat, he wasn't able to produce it then. So, yeah, I would say fair play to Christopher Chope. He has been banging on and trying to get this message out there for at least 3 years that I'm aware of. So, yeah, fair play to him.
And, yeah, it's yesterday was very telling, wasn't it? A debate on excess deaths and what some of the causes of that could be. And the fact that there was less than 20 MPs in it. Why is it that no MP politician in this country or in this kingdom, United Kingdom, really wants to talk about what's in front of them? The question is now, why aren't you attending these debates? Why aren't you trying to reform the vaccine damage payment scheme? I think it's now time for politicians to be fully held accountable. Yep. It's beyond anything acceptable now, especially the individual that you named who was the health secretary at the time. I won't even give the man the oxygen of using his name. Mm-hmm. That man, I'm sorry, to do what he did, to stand in Parliament and say that this was safe and effective, when he knew for a fact scientifically he couldn't prove any of that. None of them can, but that's parliamentary privilege. You or I say things in the street. We've got in Scotland, you've got the hate crime chap on your door. Mm-hmm. Somebody's upset at what you said. What about what politicians are saying? When do we start to turn the crime back on them? You know, ultimately, all of this leads to one thing. It's just been scandal after scandal after scandal. And all of it at the end of it is a huge amount of ordinary people whose lives have been wrecked, destroyed, and they've been abandoned. Yeah, it's been 3 years of hell.
I think as well, Alex, when Hancock made those statements way back in, them jabs came out at the end of 2020, I think it was. So right off the bat, they're safe, they're effective, they've been through clinical trials, lie after lie after lie. But very recently, Rishi Sunak stood up in the House of Commons and said exactly the same thing. He reiterated that mantra, of safe and effective. So it would seem to me
unequivocally
they'll
safe.
Never. Yeah. Or they just said they were safe. Yeah, he dropped the effective bit, but he still maintained that they were actually safe. And because of these parliamentary privilege, we have these weasels and these rats that are still not just in their positions, but they're still getting handsomely paid for the job that they're doing, which is wreaking carnage upon the UK and Ireland. And, you know, no arrests have been made yet, but surely it's only got to be a matter of time before this dam does break, because the momentum, I do believe, is gathering behind you guys, the VIBS UK group. There's also a VIBS NI group at the moment, Northern Ireland. It's been set up to put pressure on the people in Stormont, our so-called government there, who are also refusing to acknowledge excess deaths and vaccine injuries. We're trying to get the pressure on them to get their voice heard in their, in our political epicenter, which is Stormont and Belfast. So we'll take a pause, Alex, just for 30 seconds for a news headline. When we come back, let's look at what maybe the next 6 months to a year holds for you guys in terms of the pressure that you can exert on how people can get behind what you're doing and support you guys in what you're trying to do. So we'll do that when we come back at the other side of the headlines here on TNT, today's news talk.
Here we go again.
All right, let's go.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boylan here with your TNT headlines. Despite insisting it supports a two-state solution, the US has used its veto power to block a resolution calling for Palestine to be granted full membership in the United Nations. London and Washington have announced sweeping sanctions against Iran's military drone program in response to its retaliatory strikes against Israel. And over 160 Ukrainian children who were supposed to have been kidnapped by Russia have been found living in Germany.
Are you enjoying listening to TNT Radio?
Do you think we're doing a good job?
Then please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review or comment on Facebook, Gab, or Getter? Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Alex, just to give you a little bit of encouragement, a lot of people listening in the live chat at the minute asking me to pass on their greetings and respect and to yourself. One in particular, Wee Fat Shug, says, say hello to Alex for me, Rick. I'm not on Twitter anymore. Argentum Enim Rex also is on there showing some support. Mark Parkinson, Lord Melbury, Mazzy, and the crew are also listening intently to what you have to say, and say that it's great that you've been holding the line for now 3 years and you haven't backed down from your message at all. And I think one of the last things you said to me the last time you were on here was that you'll go to your grave fighting tooth and nail to get justice for not just yourself, obviously, but for the thousands, if not tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people that have been affected by this in the UK alone, let alone further afield.
I said from the very beginning that I've only ever tried to set out for three things: proper help and support for the bereaved and people like myself, stop these things, because clearly now there's a massive problem, and keep them away from children. I've not added to that, and I've not diluted that, and I never will. And I will go to my grave, because this is not about me anymore. It's way, way beyond individuals. And thank you to everyone that's listening for their support and encouragement. It means a lot to us, because we've went through 3 years of getting it from everywhere. So to get some support finally from a lot of people, and for that support to be recognised to a certain extent, thank you, everyone. It keeps us going in many times. For me, it's about justice, but what's right. And if you are going to be saying one thing and knowing another, and there's a catastrophic issue, then that has to be investigated, rectified, and resolved. And the first thing that you must do is help the people that have been in the position that I'm in, and many more that are even worse off than me, because I've got the medical evidence. You can't dispute me, you can't deny me, you can't refute me. I'm different in many ways. There's so many other people out there that I know in a far worse health state than I am, and can't get a doctor to say what's wrong with them. You know, this is where the level is. It's not just politicians, it's the medical professionals, the senior top ones. You go into hospitals now, and I go regularly, too regularly now. And now the atmosphere, the attitude, everything, everyone knows someone, everyone talks about someone. So we know that at a grassroots level, the public, everyone is aware that there's people like me. And the bottom line is, we're not getting helped and supported 3 years down the line. Doesn't matter which way you cut this. We've got ordinary people whose lives have been destroyed, and there is no help and support for them. It doesn't matter what caused that. That's an injustice, and it has to be rectified. And there's so many scandals now.
Well, Alex, the Vibs UK group, I know you've just changed your main social media page. The last one was deleted. Vib UK Twitter was deleted, but it's now been replaced. Vib UK Official, and you can follow that at VIBUK_official. And for maybe people that aren't aware of it, and you never know, there could be people listening in for the first time here today that have been affected, don't know where to go, don't know where to turn to. If that's you out there, if you're one of those people, Vaccine Injured and Bereaved UK, Vib UK, are campaigning for the government to reform the Vaccine Damage Payment Scheme, or the VDPS, part of the Vaccine Damage Payment Act. Just keep us up to speed with this one, Alex. Obviously, there are some payments have been made, but they've been woefully small compared to what people have lost out in terms of not just their earnings since they were injured or lost a loved one, but future earnings going forward for what, some 10, 20, 30 or 40 years in some cases. What people have got is just a drop in the bucket compared to what they should have got to enable them to at least live a comfortable standard of living for the rest of their lives because what the government did to them.
The fact that historically it's only ever paid out 1.7% of awards, so for over 98% of those that apply, they get rejected. Mm-hmm. That's bad enough. You then add on to it that in the last 3 years, just for these three novel vaccines alone, there's over 9,000 people believe they're 60% disabled because of one of these vaccines that have applied for it. 163 payments, that's where we are. And most of them are for AstraZeneca. There are Pfizer and there are Moderna, but the large majority is AstraZeneca. But even those numbers, 163, is woefully inadequate because that 60% enablement act or disablement, we've got people whose lives have been destroyed. The Vaccine Damage Payment Scheme have acknowledged causation, but say they don't believe they're 60% disabled. What are they using to gauge this? They're using a thing called the Green Book, which is an industrial scale, which was based on soldiers coming from the Second World War. It has no idea of the concept of autoimmune conditions, especially things like VIT, because VIT is an autoimmune issue. You know, so there's so much needs reform. Then we've got the legal case as well, which is, you've got, you know, Vib UK are part of that. There's also UKCV family who do fantastic work, and the Scottish Vig family. So there's three groups, and you've got some groups now setting up in Ireland and across the world. We are banding together. It's coming to the point where you have an army of the walking dead.
And do you not find
it's terrible?
Alex, do you not find, though, there seems to be like a concerted effort on the parts of the government to make progress for you guys as difficult as possible? So, for example, in Northern Ireland, there's the Vibs NI group, similar to the Vibs UK group that's been set up. They are trying to very simply get their voices heard in Stormont, which is the seat of government over here, allegedly, to say, listen, there are people that have been injured. There are people that have been killed over here because of these jabs. It's medically noted and medically recorded, much the same as your own. We want an investigation to be done in this. We want excess deaths to be done in this. But they're being blocked by certain politicians because over here, if you want to be heard in Stormont, you have to get a unionist backing and a nationalist backing, other way, you know, for equality then. But the problem is there's been a backing from the unionist side, from the DUP, but from the Alliance Party, the SDLP, Sinn Féin, nothing. They said, oh, well, we'll consider talking to people that have been injured, but talking to a politician's not going to accomplish anything. Action needs to be taken, and that's the problem. There's a lot of talking on the government's part, but there's no real action being done.
Well, we're still waiting in Rishi Sunak getting back to John Watt and Adam Rowland. And he said that in live and TV. He didn't say that in Parliament. You know, not a word we've heard. So I'm now at the stage where politicians are now, what they do is they send you a standard paste and cut answer that vaccines are saved and saved millions of lives and the benefits, risks, and all the rest of it. We're forgetting the issue. We've got a human being who's needing help and support. It doesn't matter why they're where they are. They're where they are. And it's confirmed. There's no denying it. And yet we still have all of these politicians. For me, I think out of the I'm not sure how many Stormont holds, but certainly the 120 odd in Scottish and 650 in the UK. I can pick probably about 20 that I think are supportive of this. Mm-hmm. The rest go from being either just ignore you, or they send you a derogatory cut and paste statement job. Vaccines have saved millions of lives. I'm tired of hearing this. We know that. That's never been up for question. What is up for question is that you did not put anything into place to help us, and you're still refusing to do it 3 years down the line. Mm-hmm. Nothing excuses you for that. Nothing.
Well, you know what, Alex, I'm hoping that, you know, every time that we do talk, we do move a little bit closer towards getting some kind of a breakthrough there. It's not coming anywhere near as fast as I would like to see it, and of course, as you guys would like to see either. But the momentum is starting to build. And, you know, it's like if you're smacking a rock with a hammer, you know, you can bash in that thing for a week or a month and then it looks like nothing's happening, and then one day you'll just hit it and the whole thing will just split wide open. That's what I want to believe will happen. You guys have been putting so much pressure on not just you, but the whole group, everybody involved with it, all the people that have stood with you guys, are backing you guys, trying to encourage you guys. You know, the public opinion, or from the people that know anyway, is very much behind you. And maybe, fingers crossed, the next time that we talk, there'll be even more progress to report on that front. Yeah, I want to believe that, Alex. And like I said, if people want to follow Vib UK, you can do that at @VibUK_official on Twitter or X. And no doubt you and I'll stay in contact. And if there's any major breakthroughs, we'll get you on and you can let people know what those are. So big thanks to you this morning, Alex. Appreciate you taking time out of your morning to come on here. And I hope you have a good weekend.
Thank you very much, Rick. Thank you. And I really appreciate it. We'll all keep in touch. And we are going to win this.
Yes,
there is no doubt.
I want to believe that. I want to believe that, Alex. And on that positive note, I wish you well for the weekend. And yes, we will stay in touch. We've got to take a break right now. Basil Valentine is hopping on to chew the fat over UK political issues and further afield here on TNT, Today's News Talk.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go. I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
Last week, Brandon met a girl on a dating app. One day after work, he finally found the courage to ask her out. No answer. He started to panic. Was he being too pushy? Maybe it was too...
Hey, sorry I didn't respond. I was driving. I would love to go on a date. How does tonight sound?
Brandon tried to play it cool, but inside he knew. A girl so smart, so responsible. She must be a keeper.
Informative and engaging. Rick Munn. Rick Munn on Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, TNT, Today's News Talk. This is Locked and Loaded. It was great talking with Alex Mitchell again, just getting a little update on what's going on in the Vibs front in the UK. But now I'm joined again by TNT's very own political editor, Mr. Basil Valentine. Basil, how are you doing this morning? I have to ask you. It's my duty.
Oh, I'm very well. Thank you, Rick. And hello to our viewers and listeners all around the world.
A lot happening since last night. You know, you and I exchange potential discussion points before we retire for the night. But, you know, the evil never ends. And as we sleep and as we snooze, drones inevitably are flying around dispensing ordnance. People are being attacked and bombed throughout the night. It's a 24/7 thing, this war business, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. I mean, late last night we had the UN Security Council voting in favor of recognizing Palestine as a state and a full member of the UN. But of course, the UN exercised its veto. So the fact that 12 countries voted in favour, with two abstentions, UK and Switzerland, and the United States used its veto to vote against, means yet more disappointment for the Palestinian people. Now, as you say, overnight, or rather first thing this morning, Israel hit back at Iran following last weekend's drone attack. The Jerusalem Post reports its sources having confirmed that Iranian Air Force assets in Isfahan, almost right next door to the Islamic Republic's nuclear site in the same area, were hit during blasts that the United States has attributed to Israel. The message was unmistakable. We chose not to hit your nuclear sites this time, but we could have done worse right here. So, Israeli government sources told the Jerusalem Post. Now, ironically, in this crazy world we live in, Rick, this represents a de-escalation in as much as it wasn't a major strike. Iran has already said it has no plans for immediate retaliation against Israel. That was an Iranian official speaking to Reuters this morning. The foreign source of the incidents has not been confirmed. We have not received any external attack, and the discussion leans more towards infiltration than attack, said an Iranian official on condition of anonymity. Now, final point about this is that a dirty backroom deal appears to have been done over the last 48 hours between Israel and the White House, where the Israelis basically gave Washington an ultimatum and said, either we hit Iran very hard and potentially start World War III, or you allow us to carry out our full-scale assault on Rafah in Gaza and finish massacring the Palestinians. Which will it be? Well, unsurprisingly, Washington chose to allow Israel to massacre more Palestinians and carry out the full-scale ground invasion of Rafah, which will now happen in a few days, Washington having previously pushed back against that plan. So if we rewind it all the way back now to the original Israeli attack on the Iranian consulate in Damascus, a massive gamble by Netanyahu, but the one that appears to have paid off, because he managed to get Biden to reaffirm the United States' ironclad support for Israel. And we had Sunak and Cameron and all the usual talking heads scurrying around talking about Israel's right to defend itself when Iran launched its choreographed response. Okay. Meanwhile, of course, the diplomatic opprobrium that Israel was facing for its assault on Gaza has slightly dissipated in the last week. And as a result of this deal signed in blood, is the only way of putting it, it appears that the White House has now given the green light for a bloody assault on Rafah within the next few days.
Also off the back of this story that we're discussing right now with regards to this this Israel retaliation, if you want to call it a retaliation or a flex, as some people have described it as. You remember earlier this week, we were talking about oil prices, and strangely, after the drone attack by Iran last week, oil prices actually went down a little bit, and that left a lot of commentators confused. But what they'd said was, we've already priced in an Iranian retaliation, but the real effect will happen if Israel then takes it a step further. Now, obviously, they did that, what they did last night, albeit they said we could have done a lot worse. But funnily enough, today, the oil prices have started spiking up again. So the ball's very much in Israel's court with a lot of things at the minute, not least of which even is oil prices, which is affecting us here in the UK and wider afield throughout the world. So there's an awful lot tied into this particular conflict in this particular area, Basil, whether or not we're on the ground or not. Thank God we're not. But still, the ripples are being felt right across the world.
Yes, and I would expect today oil prices to fall further, believe it or not, because this represents sort of shadow boxing, really, even to the extent that Itamar Ben-Gvir, the extremist, one of the fascists in the Israeli parliament. He's been admonished for admitting that Iran caused the explosions today in Isfahan. Now, you may think, well, hang on a minute. We all know this was Israel, wasn't it? Well, the US media has quoted US officials as reporting that Israel has carried it out, but the Israelis haven't admitted it themselves yet. Ben-Gvir is a member of the ruling coalition, and he wrote a one-word post on X that reportedly means feeble in Hebrew slang. So, in other words, he was decrying the fact that Israel hadn't hit back harder. But if that is to be the totality of the Israeli response, then, given that the very, very clever chaps who trade in oil on international markets always discount possible, war in that part of the world and factor that into their prices in advance. Actually, today, I would expect prices to fall because they have fallen. Yeah,
that's what it meant. So basically what happened was last week, they did fall whenever the drone strike happened because the prices were factored in. Last night, they spiked briefly last night because obviously the full extent of this attack wasn't known. But in Israel's own words, we could have done a hell of a lot worse. We could have caused an awful lot of carnage. So I think the price, it's obviously very much dependent on the effects of the strike and the amount of devastation it's caused. So a slight blip at saying, well, what's going to be the outcome for this? But since they have Israel has effectively talked down the severity of the attack, the oil prices have came back down. But it just goes to show you, a lot's riding on the volatility of that situation at the minute. And it is volatile and it is extremely tense at the minute.
Well, I wish I traded in oil futures because I would have sold at last night's high because my understanding was that that this deal had been done that allowed Israel to do what it really wants to do, which is seize more of Gaza, more land, rather than start World War III. So the upshot being, it looks as if this might be, touch wood, the end of this particular series of exchanges between Israel and Iran.
Hopefully, fingers crossed, we can be optimistic. It's Friday. We're allowed a little bit of optimism here on a Friday. Let's change the focus here. Basil, what's going on? There was another story. Yeah, private health insurance, actually, in the UK. This is something that affects us, whether we have it or not, access to timely medical care if we want to go down the medical route. There was a story that you've highlighted here. Private health insurance market grows by approximately £385 million in a year amid an NHS crisis. So demand for private treatment booms as NHS waiting lists remain long, while more people also sign up for dental cover. That's something I've been suggesting that people consider. Forgo a foreign holiday. Is it really needed? Save a little bit of extra at the minute because we're in for a bumpy ride, and we have been over the last few years, and I think we're going to continue to be here. Having a few quid saved away, or the ability to pay for private treatment quickly, timely private treatment, might be the difference between life or death for some of us.
Well, it could be, but that is supposed to be what the NHS was for when it was set up all those years ago. When it comes to dental work, you get very little on the NHS as things stand. If you want any major restorative work done, bar the basics, you have to go private. As regards the rest of it, well, that's what the Tories want. They want people taking out private health insurance so that they don't have to properly fund the NHS. But ironically, Sunak has been caught in a extremely hypocritical position. He's due to make a speech about sick note culture and how benefits have become a lifestyle choice. This is with respect to GPs no longer having the power to sign people off from work and say that they're ill. It seems that the Prime Minister wants dedicated professionals with the time and experience and know-how to assess people and their fitness and ability to work. not just GPs doing so over the phone, but who is going to pay and recruit all these dedicated professionals who are going to be assessing whether or not people are fit for work. It seems the Tories want to both have their cake and eat it, to continue to defund the NHS. They're doubtless very happy to see people paying for more private insurance. But at the same time, they want to employ more people to look into the sick note culture crowd.
Do you not find, Basil, I, you know, looking at this proposition, I think GPs are lightning fast to whip out the sick note pad. And if you or I presented to a GP and the two classic ones that they can't really contest, one, you could say, my back's killing me. I've got a really bad back. I can't bend over. I can't lift anything heavy. There's no way of proving that you're lying in that case. So, you know, you can't just assess somebody on the spot and say, well, I think you're perfectly capable. Then I could go and say, oh, I've ruptured my disc. My doctor wouldn't sign me off. I'm going to take him to court. A lot of GPs are afraid not to sign people off on the sick. And the same goes with stress, workplace stress. The last organization that I worked for 11 years was notorious for its sick note culture, to the extent that people would phone in our personnel department when they'd been off work for 5 months and 3 weeks, because at 6 months, their pay dropped down to 50%. They were on very nice sick pay and they didn't want to lose money. So they would phone the personnel department and say, how long have I been off for? 5 weeks and or 5 months and three. I'm going to come back next week. I'll be back next week. I'll get signed off on the sick next week. So, and another employer, they used to, every member of staff took a week off on rotation throughout the year, and they called it the Dulux week because they used it to paint their front room. And there was I used to work in the civil service, my very first ever job, and there was a civilian staff road, and you could see every month, you could tell who was going to be off the following month because it repeated every single year. It's like, oh, Charlie's going to be off in the second week of February. Basil takes the third week in April. Rick's off in the fourth week of October. The Dulux week, we called it, where you went and painted your house. So yeah, that culture is very much thriving, but I think GPs are afraid to contest it in case they get sued, because obviously how do you prove somebody's not stressed out and at the point of breaking or doesn't have a bad back?
Yeah, absolutely. The Work and Pension Secretary, Mel Stride, has said this morning that 94% of those who are signed off by their GP with minor mental health problems are listed as unable to work. In other words, a little bit depressed, you know, just feeling a bit down, you know, awfully sorry, can't go into work, I'm a bit down, you know, well, come on, you know.
And even the amount of bending over backwards it's done to accommodate people coming back to work. Again, my last employer, I can only speak for them, they had what was called phased return. So if you were off work for 6 months and your sick note ran out, they wouldn't put you under the pressure of sending you straight back into the office. No, it took a month to get you back full time. For the first week you were back, you only did 2 days a week. The second week, you did 3 days a week. The third week, you did 4 days a week. And on week number four, after a full month, you were capable of going back into the office on a full-time basis. Phased return, it was called, just wringing that sponge out as far as they could go. Now, of course, there are people out there that are at breaking point, and maybe the workplace is not the best place for them. We actually had some staff members, Basil, in our last place that were told, go home and stay home until you get your shit together, figuratively speaking, because they were ticking time bombs. We actually feared we were going to get stabbed a few times. So sometimes it's a good thing to have the sick note culture, but of course it can be very much abused.
Yeah, absolutely, Rick. A very quick pivot now to two, one current MP and the husband of the former First Minister of Scotland, both in trouble. First of all, Peter Murrell has been arrested in connection with the embezzlement of funds from the Scottish National Party. He's the husband of Nicola Sturgeon, the former First Minister. And meanwhile, in the UK, we have a Tory MP in deep trouble, Mark Menzies. This is a truly bizarre one. He asked an elderly party volunteer for £6,500 as a matter of life and death, because apparently he had to pay some bad people. He then took the money out of campaign funds to repay her. This is a the Mole story is sort of fairly straightforward. This is a really bizarre one.
It is.
Who were these bad people that Mark Menzies had to pay? It sounds like blackmail, and somewhere behind it, I can't help thinking that, like William Ragg, there are people he met on the internet involved.
Could be. And by the way, that old dear, she was phoned at 3:15 a.m., 78 years of age. So we phoned her at 3:15 in the morning to ask for money to save him from the bad men. So no doubt, Basil, we will be covering this more as that we find out maybe who these bad men are. But we've got to just pause. I know you're chomping at the bit here, but we've literally got to stop or we're going to get cut off because the metal's playing. But listen, we'll continue this one next week. I'm actually looking forward to it. There I see a little bit of nastiness in me, looking forward to finding out about this. Basil, thank you so much. Have a fantastic weekend. I'll be back after the break with more here on Locked and Loaded. Don't go away. This is TNT.